And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Totally Football Show, European edition. Today, exit to the Ruhr. Dortmund say yes please, thank you for Jordan Sancho. In France, it's Lille against the Martinique in the Infantino wet dream that is the Coupe de France, Ronde de 64. Spain, Greenwood's red, Barca's new signing they can't sign, and Carlos staying put. And Italy, Napoli with no clean sheets and a seaman staying. No wonder the owner's holding his hands up. All that and cheese in this Totally Football Show. Here we go then, listener. Woo! 3rd of January. I'll have some of that. As we bring you a brand new, the first of the year, European edition of the Totally Football Show. Hello, Alvaro Romeo.
Hello, happy new year.
Well, thank you so much. Do you want to do it in character?
In Basque.
Feliz año.
Urte berrión.
And the same Urte berrión. Raphael Honigstein's with us.
Hello, James. Yeah. Horse noise.
Indeed so.
Horse voice.
Oh, what? My God.
Yeah, big New Year's Eve. All right. Julien Laurent.
Hello, bonne année.
Oui, bonne année. And also James Horncastle. Hey, up.
Hi, lad. How are you doing?
Very nice. Thank you so much. So good to be here. We can look at the big games, answer the big questions. Questions like, Julien, what are we doing here?
Yes, I mean...
Well, existential.
La Liga is starting just now. We had Coppa d'Italia nobody cares about. You know, like what? Milan, Cagliari...
Some big shocks in the Coppa Italia.
Big shocks, yeah.
Big shocks.
Like Milan Cagliari, yeah, exactly.
La Magica della Coppa.
Yeah, exactly. Magica della Coppa.
And there's been two whole rounds of Serie A as well.
Yeah. There has, yeah.
So my moment of the week is... Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh, no, we'll come to that. Also...
I've got nothing, James, Rafa's for a change.
Usually from Liga, Rafa. It's pretty bleak.
Oh, my God.
There's been all of that. There's also been... Well, we've all been to restaurants over the new year, Christmas period. I'm sure we've been to some really nice places. Hey, like, I tried your Tatzelspitzel.
Oh, Tafelspitz, where?
No, in Plachuta.
Where?
Prague.
In Plachuta. You were in Vienna.
I went to Plachuta.
And?
There were no girls in tight t-shirts. What's that about?
I didn't mention any of that.
Never mind.
Oh, in Hoota. Okay. Yeah.
But okay, no, I did go there and I enjoyed it. Way more than I thought, given that it consists of boiled beef in broth.
Yeah, but it is incredible.
But
isn't it?
I enjoyed it and I'm glad I went. But the meal that I most enjoyed in Vienna was maybe, what was it called? Obufes, it's called. It's a little kind of Greek place.
You went to Vienna for Greek cuisine.
I also had sushi there, which was really good.
Wow. Yeah, they're so close to the sea. They get really fresh stuff.
But I also ticked the boxes of the Sackertort and the Wiener Schnitzel and the Hagenspitz.
Did you go after Rafa mentioned that place?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Did you have a good time in Vienna?
Yes. Yeah.
It's a beautiful city.
Snowed.
Did you waltz?
Did you waltz, yeah?
I mean, in a metaphorical sense, yes. But that's enough of... That's enough of my...
It's so bad to start the year.
Anybody else want to do restaurant chat? What's the best meal you had over Christmas, Jules?
Oh, we had raclette. Amazing raclette. Wow. I mean, it's a big dish in our house for big days.
Literally.
And we are literally a love raclette cheese, charcuterie. Potato, because obviously it's very old school, but it's very good too.
Yeah. Shout out to my niece's husband who cooked goose for Christmas dinner.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Any good?
No. Amazing. Yeah.
That's good. It's good because sometimes you cook and.
Anybody else want to do this bit? Or should I just move on? There's no football.
No. I went to some pubs in Yorkshire.
Right.
Yorkshire pudding.
No, not Yorkshire pudding. I went to a good pub in Yorkshire called The Pipe and Glass.
Nice.
There you go. In North Dalton, South Dalton.
Sounds like it should be
Timothy Dalton.
Backstreet Crack Den.
I mean,
trap house.
If that's your commentary on Yorkshire destitution, James, they're your words, not mine. But yeah, going out tonight.
All right.
Again.
Yeah. Well, no, just the first time. I'm back in London. I only came back yesterday.
All right, so where are you going, James?
Called Mountain,
what are you excited about?
I think Raph has already been to.
Been where? To Mountain. Yeah. Mountain is the sister restaurant of Brett.
Of Brecht.
Brett.
Brett. Bertolt Brecht.
Brett.
Brett.
This is like some kind of Brett. Verbal.
It's actually a Basque test. Place. It's a so Basque place.
It's a Basque place, yeah.
Yeah, called, it's called Brett.
Where have we been?
Brett.
Brett.
Yes. No, think spoiled brat.
I thought that he was
brat.
Yeah,
brat.
Because apparently that is Cornish slang for...
Basques.
No. Cornish slang for turbo.
Turbo, and the fish.
The fish. Not and the... that is the speciality that they're cooking.
Twin turbo.
I think the T, a bit like Turandot, I think you have the T on turbot.
Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I believe so. I think so.
Yeah.
Alvaro. I think so. Anyway, so you're going to the sister restaurant of Brat, which is called Mountain.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The mountain named after the mountains of Cornwall.
Okay. All right. Well, look forward to hearing how that goes in next week's edition. Alvaro?
What was the question
again? What was the best thing you ate over since we last spoke?
You know, my parents came, and my mother thinks that the English supermarkets don't have any food. So she brings everything from
Spain. Yeah. Point.
Everything,
point.
Everything. Even the
contraband, smuggling it across.
Even the sliced bread.
On those small boats.
Or even sliced bread.
Yeah. Things like this, yeah, that's going too far. But they have something called carrilleras, which is a beef called... cooked with red wine, which is really tasty. Mm-hmm. Plenty of turrones as well. In Italy, they're called torrone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, the usual Christmas treats, but it was all very good. Very good. No restaurants, it was just my mom preparing everything.
The best kind of cooking.
That's the best food,
Mm. Well, Rafa, did you want to move on? There's something you wanted to add?
No, I had an amazing...
Don't let him... You know what he's going to say.
What?
I had an amazing meal. I had a few amazing meals.
Well, yeah, you know, he's the only one who actually went somewhere exciting.
He went to Thailand. Well, okay, so Vienna's not good enough.
Vienna is amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing, Vienna.
Uh-huh.
But, the food in Thailand, as you know, is pretty...
Is it?
Stunning.
Never been Thai food? What is
You've that? Never been to Thailand?
I've never been to Thailand.
Really, James?
Yeah.
Okay. I can recommend it. Anyway, okay. Lots of really good meals, but the best one was a place called Siam Country Club in Bangkok. I ate a Thai osobuco, which was really something very special.
Was the chef Italian?
No. But they have a lot of really good Italian restaurants in
How about that?
In Thailand.
A lot of great Thai restaurants over here.
The second best
Sushi in Vienna.
Great sushi in Vienna.
Second
Mochi,
best restaurant.
Mochi, by the way, if you're interested. Mochi.
Mochi, yeah.
Mochi.
Mochi. I thought you were in Vienna with Mochi.
So, briefly, probably will not make the edit, but second best restaurant was a place in Koh Samui, which an Australian with Neapolitan parents opened, and it was sort of an Italian-Thai seafood place, which was,
wow.
But very simple, but amazing.
Maybe we'll be talking about some other kind of Thais now, with the Coppertellers you mentioned, and the Coupe de France... Le Ronde de Soixante-Quatre. Yeah, which is my favorite one.
Mm.
For reasons we'll get into very, very shortly, Jules.
Okay.
Once we've got the moment of the week out the way. Any moments of the week? Anybody?
Oh, I went to see at the cinema. Yeah. I went to see Next Goal Wins with the kids.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Which is the story of American Samoa when they got the American coach Thomas Schwongen, who's now a pundit. But who used to be a really good coach to like kind of make them a little bit better. It was really good.
Good.
You know, it's
Does the football look realistic in it?
Kind of, but it's really close to the real story, to the true story.
Okay.
And the book is very good as well. If you want to prefer reading the book, like James Horncastle.
All right.
Yeah, I read
the only
four
one reading here.
Four books.
Christmas. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The best one was that Werner Herzog one, which has gone viral anyway. But it's an amazing book.
Werner Herzog.
The Herzog memoir. It's incredible. Yeah.
How can a book go viral exactly?
Because people talk about it on podcasts and then it goes, people, and it sells out. The publisher, there's a run on the publisher.
Highest selling.
As you knew with your books, Raph, when they were published.
I know. Isn't that right, listener? put down that other tab where you're ordering it. And Alvaro, shall I just move on?
Moment of the week. I mean,
Have you got one?
La Liga started already.
Yes.
So I would say, by the way, watch Hilari, the documentary that James Horncastle recommended. What was the name of the documentary?
I think it's Unica.
Unica, yeah.
Which is after the T-shirt that Totti prepared.
Have you been watching that?
Yeah, I really recommend it.
Okay.
It's real fun.
So many great documentaries out there at the moment.
Yeah. But the moment of the weekend has to be one. Mason Greenwood being sent off.
Ah, okay. Tell us more about that, but not yet.
Okay.
All right, Serie A wins with two rounds since we last spoke. We're going to begin in Italy next.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Gudmundsson verso Dragusin. Radu Dragusin, 1-1, la risposta del Genoa.
Yeah, two rounds of action. James Horncastle got a new deal for Victor Osimhen and a rare moment of self-reflection from Napoli president Aurelio De Laurentiis. And the leading pair back to 2 points between them after last Friday, Genoa held Inter to a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. Neither of those Napoli stories you mentioned were the biggest Napoli story, I would wager.
What was the biggest Napoli story?
Well, there have been two rounds of Serie A, as you mentioned, James. Napoli were held last time out by Monza, goalless draw. Mm. And Matteo Pessina, the Monza midfield player, missed a penalty in that game. But before that, Napoli had lost to Roma at the Stadio Olimpico, where they were reduced to 9 men. And it was only after they were in numerical inferiority, as our Italian friends like to say, that Roma won. But Walter Mazzarri was talking to the media after that game, kept talking to them. And by the time he came out of the press conference, the Napoli bus had gone. They forgot. It was like Home Alone or Rome Alone.
Rome Alone.
And he had to fork out and pay for a taxi
to Naples.
To Naples, which cost him, I think, about €500.
Wow.
But you mentioned.
So they could not wait for him any longer for the flight or something.
I think because he'd been away for 10 years, they forgot he was their coach. And so he wasn't on the coach.
That's awful. Poor chap.
But you mentioned that Napoli signed Victor Osimhen to a new deal. Mm. They just rolled it on for another year with a bit of a pay rise and I think a buyout clause. And then Victor Osimhen over Christmas was seen in a nightclub, maybe celebrating this new deal and the new money that he's been getting because he was making it rain dollar bills or euro bills.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then as you mentioned, De Laurentiis, he'd given a big interview to Corriere della Sport in which he blamed everyone else for Napoli's poor season. They're eighth at the moment. So he said, I should have sacked Rudy Garcia the minute his unveiling finished.
Because I should have said, he's arrived and now he's leaving.
Because he told me he'd never seen a Napoli game before. Mm. So he got criticism for basically blaming everyone else but himself. And then after the draw with Monza, he did the press conference. Presumably because he wanted Mazzarri to make the bus.
Make the bus, yeah.
So he did the press conference and said, it's all my fault.
All my fault.
I'm sorry. And then we're going to have to intervene on the transfer market.
Yeah, he's promised 3 signings.
Yeah.
They've lost Elmas already, which is a bit of a strange move now from Leipzig.
But I think Elmas felt that he was a player deserving of a starting role on a team. And he was always like the first guy off the bench.
Yeah.
25 million is quite a lot of money for a bench player. And then some of the signings that they've made haven't really worked out, like Natan, the centre-back who was supposed to replace Kim. Mm. He's sort of been eased in. That was a stick to beat Garcia with. And so they're in for Dragusin along with Spurs. And
they
then there's
Paulo Dybala up for 13 million.
That's the buyout clause. Yeah, I don't think Paulo will be leaving. I think that buyout clause is only optionable in a week of June or something.
Oh, really? Okay.
But there's Samardzic, the Udinese midfield player who spent 3 days in the Milan hotel thinking he was a new Inter player in the summer.
Right.
Only for that to fall through.
Right.
Napoli are going to do some business.
Love it. Well, they need to because they're miles off the pace. Well, they're eighth.
They are, James.
Miles behind Inter, who are top, although only 2 points clear of Juve after this last weekend, getting held by Genoa and arguably the coaching revelation of this season, Alberto Gilardino.
Yeah, Gila, who I think this time last year got the caretaker role for Genoa. Genoa, who were in the second division. Genoa owned by 777, who have been trying to buy Everton and have been subject to quite a few investigative journalism pieces. as to where their money comes from. But Gillett, who was, you know, sort of only meant to be in the job for a couple of games, went on this mad surge to promotion. To be honest, they've looked safe ever since they came back. And you mentioned the fact, James, that they held into it the week on Friday night, I think it was. Sometime.
Friday.
We all lose track. But they'd also held Juventus at home. Somewhat controversial.
They held Napoli, although they'd beaten Roma and Lazio. Yeah. Gilardino, I mean, he was a decent player.
Mm.
But I think post his playing career, the thing that, for me, he was most famous for was being duped by that paparazzi.
Fabrizio Corona.
Corona, yeah. Nothing really made you think he's going to be a top fella on the sidelines, but that's what he's proving to be, because this team is largely the same one that he brought up from Serie B.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some good players, although, you know, players that they'd signed when 777 first took over the club. So we've mentioned Dragozin, who I might be interviewing later on.
Really?
Yes.
Just when you thought you were out, they drag us in.
That's exactly Gudmundsson, who is like the Icelandic Dybala, although there's some...
Albert on his shirt, not to get confused.
Yeah. Well, yeah, also not to get confused with his great-grandfather who played for...
For Milan. Back in the 50s.
I didn't. I had no idea, but the Gazzetta, your favourite newspaper, had a big thing about this with some old pictures. And yeah, it turns out he's kind of a figlio d'arte.
But you're right, James. I think most people look at this as being a team with some experience, like Kevin Strootman, whose knees still seem to work incredibly. I mean, Rafa has been telling us about Xabi Alonso and how Xabi is the sort of hottest property in coaching, and that kind of works in this school of thought that midfielders make the best coaches because they see both sides, both phases of the game from their position on the pitch. But in Serie A, we've seen strikers, Simone Inzaghi, and now Gilardino. We even saw Pippo Inzaghi get a win at the weekend.
Very nice. All right, well, Juve are just 2 points behind because they had a 1-0 win, their 12th 1-0 win of the...
calendar year.
Of the calendar year. Sixth of the season. Incredible. Adrien Rabiot with his 14th of the season and a lovely back heel assist from Dusan Vlahovic.
Yeah, lovely move. Yeah. That's all they did. I mean, this is what they do, aren't they? They're just so good at taking the lead and then usually defending it.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Rabiot has had an incredible 18 months at Juve. He's like one of the three captains of the team, which I think a lot of people wouldn't expect. He scored 12 goals, I think, since the start of last season.
Yeah, that's the 13th now.
Double figures, let's say, call it that. And whenever Allegri after the game says, no, you know, for us, success this season will be fourth, Rabiot always kind of says, no, since day one, we believe that we can win the league. We want to win the league. We watched the Inter-Genoa game on Friday night. We saw they dropped points, and that made us even more determined to go out and win this game. They won it. Juventus, you know, even with some players on the bench like Chiesa, they keep finding these youngsters from their next-gen team, like Yildiz.
Wow, that's what I was going to say. That's the big... Kenan Yildiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a goal. That was against Frosinone, wasn't it?
The Frosinone goal was beautiful, but he was playing up front with Vlahovic. And there was some sense that maybe Vlahovic plays better with Yildiz. Okay, it's a small sample size of like one game. But, you know, Chiesa needs to have lots of space in front of him to counter-attack into. And not a lot of teams give Juventus that. And so if you've got someone who can play between the lines, stitch the play together a bit like Yildiz can, then it's a good option to have.
Yildiz, that was his first goal in Serie A for Juventus just before Christmas.
Yeah.
Beating, he's tightly marked by three men, skips past all of them, and then does the keeper at his near post. Very, very nice goal. Mm. To what extent is that indicative of the level of talent that we're seeing? Because everyone's gone a bit bonkers about him.
But to be honest, the best young player in Serie A this season is also owned by Juventus, and he's on loan at the team that Yildiz scored against, Frosinone, Matthias Soule. And, you know, Juventus were the only team to start this next generation team in the third division, which was there to basically help their young players bridge the gap between youth team football and first team football. And it's really working. And so Yildiz, I think, was signed from Bayern
Yeah, exactly.
And
scored really against Germany.
Yeah, Turkey
3-2 win
Under Vincenzo Montella.
Indeed.
So they're excited about him, but you know, I think I'm not going to predict his career, but I think what we can maybe predict is what it means for Juventus' business in January, because I think things are going well enough for them to maybe think twice about signing a player in January. They've been linked with Calvin Phillips, Højbjerg as well. And yes, they do need some help in midfield because Pogba's suspended, Fagioli's suspended. But they keep winning games 1-0, as Jules was saying. So
very nice.
There you go.
Very nice. To wrap it up, would you like to just briefly explain why the Decreto Crescita, getting the elbow, is such big news and whether it's a good thing in your opinion?
Well, I would like Serie A to be competitive as it has been over the last 4 years, where you know, Inter have reached a Champions League final and a Europa League final, when Roma have reached a Conference League final, which they won a Europa League final, and when Fiorentina have reached a Conference League final. That's all happened in the time frame in which this tax break, a flat tax, has been in place.
Which gave you tax breaks on players signed from abroad.
Players signed from abroad, but also if you wanted to bring Italians back from abroad. So, for example, if you wanted to sign Antonio Conte, or at the moment, if you wanted to bring Bonucci. De Zerbi.
Right.
Yeah, or Bonucci.
Right, which nobody does. Nobody wants him.
And so this has given Serie A clubs a competitive advantage at a time when their TV deal has gone backwards. They're not building new stadiums. And now they're not going to be able to use it. Now, you know, people will say you shouldn't be giving the 1% tax breaks anyway. But I think in the grand scheme of European football, teams in Italy, France, Spain are not the 1%. Premier League clubs are the 1%. And so, I don't know, I think it's a bad thing. And I think it will have an impact in January because it comes in effect from January 1st. And that means that teams like Milan and Roma have used it to sign good Premier League players like Tomori, Tammy Abraham and that sort of thing won't be able to use it, which will be a problem, I think, for Premier League clubs.
I mean, estimated figures have saved about €20 million a year, clubs like Milan and Roma, so it will have an impact. But maybe more young Italians coming through, that's the hope.
But the thing is, they already are. I mean, you can look at the guys who Mourinho keeps giving debuts to at Roma. You look at the next-gen guys at Juve. You got Inter at a time that are less internazionale because they're playing with five Italians all the time.
Even Milan with Simic and, you know,
some under-19 team. Italy's under-19 team are European champions. The under-20s reached the World Cup final.
Nice. So plenty of talent there.
Yeah, keep the tax break.
Nice. Next up, let's talk about Germany.
For most of us, January means New Year's resolutions. But for the footballing world, January means one thing. Transfers. The window is back open and that sound you can hear is managers frantically compiling their wish lists and agents tapping on their phones trying to get a good deal, while the rest of us wait for the next David Ornstein newsflash. There's a lot going on, and to stay on top of every move that matters, you need the Athletic Football Podcast.
They were prioritising somebody like Mason Mount, Ilkay Gundogan was in the mix.
5 days a week, we'll help you cut through the noise with the most reliable reporters in the industry. David Ornstein, Adam Crafton, Laurie Whitwell, and many more will not only tell you what the deal is, but how it happened too. So make sure you don't miss a single transfer beat in January with the Athletic Football Podcast. Listen for free wherever you get your shows and hit follow and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The Athletic is the only place you can read articles by Daniel Taylor, Amy Lawrence, Phil Hay, James Pearce, Ollie Kay, and the very best football writers around.
Rafa wins the Bundesliga back.
12th of Jan.
All right.
So another 10 days
another
nearly.
10 days. Yeah.
So are you going back to Thailand, Raf? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not going back to Thailand, but I'm going to Marbella.
Oh, because of
spend
course.
A bit of time with Borussia Dortmund.
Are you?
Which
might feature.
Quite topical.
Would you think you'll see a certain Jadon Sancho?
I think
there?
I will see a certain Jadon Sancho.
All right.
I'm going on Friday, and I think he might actually beat me to it.
Ooh.
And arrive a bit earlier. Talks are very advanced. Dortmund, a few weeks ago, felt this was a total non-starter for various reasons, but I think their thinking has changed a little bit in the wake of a very poor end of the calendar year.
For them or for Man United?
Well, both, but yeah. Dortmund's was worse. They didn't win any of their last six games in all competitions. And Edin Terzic survived, but they're bringing in two new assistant coaches, former players, Nuri Sahin and Sven Bender. But I think they also felt that changes were necessary on the pitch, especially in those wide positions where I think the wingers have struggled this year to produce reliable output. Marlon, Adeyemi, Bynoe Gittens, they struggle against deep defences. They're good on the break, but when Dortmund have possession and control, they've been very ineffective. And Sancho, of course, is the perfect player for that.
Okay. The Italians have a phrase for this kind of thing, reheated soup.
Yeah.
What did they say about that in Germany?
It's similar. It's a similar expression.
In Germany, is reheated soup better than the first time? Or is it worse?
I mean, you have the ribollita, you know, which kind of...
Exactly. Yeah. But that's not reheated,
though. Yeah. Isn't it? The name suggested it
well,
is.
Well, it's sort of reused now.
Reborn.
It's like almost scraps that you put together.
Yeah. I mean, Dortmund have tried this before. They brought back Mats Hummels. They brought back Mario Götze.
Yeah.
They brought back Nuri Sahin as a player as well. But I think in this case, it's seen as a very low-risk endeavour because from what I was told, they're only paying 3 million euros all in for those 6 months. And that includes wages and a loan fee. So United paying effectively for the privilege of having Sancho out of the club and back on the pitch, which I think is in their interest as well in the long run. And Dortmund can then make up their minds, you know, if this is something worth pursuing beyond the summer or if that was it. And I think United being willing to go so far in terms of accommodating this financially, making it happen, has changed Dortmund's thinking. I think a few weeks ago when I spoke to people there, they were like, we can't make this happen. They were probably thinking about his wages and some of the problems that he's had, both in Dortmund and at Old Trafford with punctuality and stuff. There's sort of quite a high maintenance aspect to having him around. But I guess for 6 months, especially under Edin Terzic, who was instrumental bringing out the best of him when he was interim coach, and for 6 months in 2021, they feel that it's a risk worth taking.
Okay. Any other big transfer stories in Germany? Any perhaps involving Stuttgart, Serhou Guirassy?
Not yet. The assumption is that he might well leave because his release clause is so ridiculously low.
How much is it?
17.5 million euros.
17.5 million.
Unconfirmed, but these are the numbers that are getting sort of quoted in Stuttgart.
Right.
Well, Milan were looking at him, but decreto crescita, tax break, means it makes it more difficult for them to sign a player like that on the terms that they would find acceptable.
Mm. 19 goals in 18 appearances, but I'm sure a lot of clubs are interested in him.
Yeah, a lot of clubs are interested in him. He, I think, is quite open to going. Stuttgart, of course, would love to keep him because they're in the run for Champions League places and having a fantastic season. But he might well stay, thinking that he will have more options in the summer. Mm. You know, January window isn't always the easiest, both for players and for teams. And of course, he's going to AFCON as well, which reduces, I guess, the temptation for clubs to make that move happen now, because you'll effectively only get him for 5 months.
Sure.
Maybe you do that a bit later, and then he has another season, half a season at Stuttgart to progress further. But I guess the biggest news, transfer news or non-transfer news in a way, was Carlo Ancelotti signing a new deal at Real Madrid.
Going to come on with that. Come on to that later on.
Because it does have repercussions.
What's Xavi going
to
do?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's not going to go to Real Madrid, and that's the big news in a way, because a lot of people assumed that this was kind of a foregone conclusion. Ancelotti's going to Brazil to have a good time, do even less coaching than usual.
Honestly. 14 bad months at Bayern.
It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality of the coaching. Anyway, and Xabi was his designated successor, but now that he's staying or perhaps going somewhere else, it throws a new complexion on things. And I think in the short run, it's obviously fantastic news for Leverkusen, because the longer the Ancelotti story would have gone on, at some stage, I think Alonso or the club would have been forced to make some kind of statement of what happens further down the line. And now they're in a position to, I think, push this debate away down into the long grass for a little bit longer. And that's a big, big boon for them, because they're still fighting on three fronts. I think they are favourites to win at least two of those competitions, the Europa League and the German Cup. And of course, they're still top of the Bundesliga as well. Right. So,
can they cope in January, Raf, considering that some of their players will be going for AFCON?
Victor Boni.
It's a question. I think the squad is deep enough, as we've seen from the relative ease with which they've negotiated the Europa League group stage, where they've made changes. He's spoken about, Alonso, about the need to perhaps bring in a couple of players. Let's see if Leverkusen do anything. So far, we haven't seen much indication they will do so. But I think the squad is probably deep enough to cope, considering that you don't have that many games in January for
German
Bundesliga side.
And Schick came back, didn't he, just before the break and scored straight away almost. So he's a different player to Boniface, but he's still an amazing
player. And you never know how long a nation will last in the African Cup of Nations. That's another thing as well.
Also true. Left us, aside from Osimhen, Boniface, Guirassy and Wahi, are there any other good strikers in Europe that Arsenal could sign this January? Anyone who's right? Hey, Kylian Mbappe. What do you think?
There you go. I'm sure Arsenal can afford.
How much would that be, do you think?
The transfer fee, there's no transfer fee, because he would not go now.
Right.
But I don't know if there was. 6 months left of his contract. Mm. 100 million plus the wages is the big it's the big issue.
6 months left in his contract.
Yeah.
Any noises from the Mbappe family?
From them, no. From Real Madrid, we heard as often. It was so predictable, and the Spanish press was so predictable, and Florentino Perez.
1st of January at 12:01.
Exactly.
The news was published already. Yeah.
Some conflicting news at times. Some saying the same thing, and in the end,
what are they saying?
Well, that, you know, Mbappe, they were going to try again. And
Jules is respectful of the press corps.
Bringing back to the surface the subject. No more than that. No more
Operación.
Than that. Operación Mbappe, death, things like this. But, you know, it's been...
Tic-tac
with Pedrerol. It's been 3.5 years of these talks. I mean, it's incredible the amount of ink that has been spent on Mbappe for nothing to happen yet.
It's like Nicolas Gaitán and Man United or... Wesley Schneider and Man United.
You wish.
No?
But any other strikers then, apart from this Mbappe fellow that, you know, should be on the radar?
What, are we just casting out names of strikers?
Do you
want to know who the top scorer?
Artem Dobvik from Girona.
Nice,
honestly, he's a very good player.
Top scorer in Serie A in December, just the month of December.
In the month of December, who was top scorer?
He plays for Udinese.
Oh.
And he's called Lorenzo Luca.
Yeah.
His name is Luca. He was the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Remember, Ajax signed him.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
That guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
really tall.
Yeah. Really tall guy, the Leaning Tower.
Sorry. Yeah.
I doubt Udinese would sell him in January, but he had a good December, which, you know, considering all of the narrative around Italy can't produce strikers. Mm. And I mean, Immobile is an interesting one, by the way, because he was venting in November because he was in and out of the team because he's injured. It wasn't in the national team at a time when the national team needed a striker, and he was even being criticised by Lazio fans. And he said, "Well, maybe I should have taken that offer from Saudi Arabia in the summer. Maybe I will in January." And, you know, given Newcastle are owned by a company which has shown that it has no legally binding ties or whatever with the Saudi state.
Immobile at St. James's Park.
Could you imagine that?
Can you imagine that?
You probably have to imagine it, because it won't happen. But anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before?
Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show with James Richardson, the Football Content Awards International Podcast of the Year.
Let's move on to Spain then, because football is back underway there. Hey, Alvaro, the big games I think are happening tonight and tomorrow, though.
Operación Football.
Operación, there is a very good one, Girona Atletico happening. And then Barcelona Las Palmas as well is a good one, with the former Barcelona B coach against Barcelona, García Pimienta.
That Barcelona-Palmas game, could that see the debut of the new star signing?
Barcelona, and this is a circular narrative, because we always go back to this thing, but Barcelona is waiting to register him.
Ah, they haven't done
it. They haven't done it. Oh. So we don't know whether that will happen on time or
Vitor
not.
Roque.
Vitor Roque. Roque. O Tigrinho,
oh, yeah.
As they call it in Brazil.
What do they call him?
El Tigre.
Little tiger.
Tigrinho.
I'm glad we got to the point. This is like Roger Schmidt.
No, I'm correcting Alvaro.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're
with the hard T.
Yeah. I trust on your language skills.
So he's 18.
Yeah.
Wasn't expected to come till next summer.
Correct.
But they've rushed him in, except they haven't managed to actually register him yet, but he's parked somewhere in the Catalan capital right now.
Yes, and we may know very soon whether he can play against Las Palmas. He comes from Atlético Paranaense, as far as I remember. He has scored many goals in Brazil.
He hasn't?
He has many goals in Brazil. Quite strong, very fast. Rocket. Maybe not very technically gifted yet or not a finished product when it comes to that. But he will have the chances to play at Barcelona. That's the thing, because Robert Lewandowski needs a break every now and then, that's for sure. And Barcelona doesn't have any other nominal number nine, apart from Ferran Torres, who can be a makeshift number nine. But I think that Vitor Roque may have a few chances very soon.
Okay.
And the Spanish Cup will be underway this weekend. So, you know, the Spanish Cup gave a chance last season to Ansu Fati to rediscover his form. Same thing may happen to Vitor Roque.
Okay. Any other big transfer tales at the moment?
No. The only thing was the contract extension of Isco.
Which they announced with a remarkable video.
I did not see this.
Can you explain this? So basically, there's a kind of Andalusian Ali G making his way around Sevilla to some appropriate beats.
Betty.
You take up the story, Alvaro, because I'm still confused about what I've seen.
No. I honestly cannot take up that story.
He arrives gesticulating, topically, because Ali G very much the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And he arrives and a car pulls up in front of him and out gets Isco, who basically tells him to calm down and then holds up a shirt and that's the end of the thing. There's got to be some connection.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
No, I think that I don't know what the connection is. Sort of about that. The Betis social media team is very, very imaginative as well. They have done things like this in the past too.
Right.
And I mean,
is it a Joaquin joint? Is it the sort of thing that would come out of Joaquin?
Joaquin could be the scriptwriter for a few things like this, because he's the kind of guy who has this, you know, humor and all that.
Right.
But, you know, I think that the extension
Joaquin
is...
Joaquin
aside. Joking aside. Yeah. But he's a player that deserves to get a contract extension. He was out for 6.5 months,
right.
Which probably gives some hope to players like David De Gea, I don't know, who have been out for a long time as well. Isco came back. He showed from the very beginning that he was totally fit, and from match day number one in La Liga, he's been making the difference for Betis.
Excellent. All right. Well, as you mentioned, it's co-leaders Girona Girona. 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 Thank you. Sorry. Hosting Atletico Madrid.
Both are correct, Wednesday by the way. Night.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. And I say co-leaders because Real are now level with them after Girona dropped points to at Betis just before Christmas.
Yeah, because Betis at home, they are quite solid. And because Girona cannot win every game. But the good thing about them is that they are not losing either. They have suffered that loss against Real Madrid. And after that, they've been flying. They beat Barcelona. This is going to be a proper test against Atletico de Madrid. Mm. And, you know, Girona says now that the main target this season is to qualify for Europe. Obviously, they are downplaying themselves a little bit. But still, after getting 45 points and on the basis of what we have seen and how daring they have been, even in big profile games, we have to consider them definitely favorites against Atletico de Madrid. I will say that, yes, because Atletico has had dips in form. I know that they ended up the year just beating Sevilla comfortably. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Girona right now at home, it's a more composed side and they know what they are doing. They are very dangerous. They are not going to change their style. I could imagine Atletico sitting back a little bit like they did against Feyenoord in the first 20 minutes of that game and then trying to, you know, write in the script from that point. Mm. But Girona, as I said before, I mean, I have no reason right
Girona,
now,
yeah.
Girona, yeah. Yeah, I have no reason to believe that Girona won't play on the front foot. So I think that it's going to be a fascinating encounter.
Excellent. Okay, and Copa del Rey coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Is there a fixture there in particular that leaps at you?
A couple of derbies, Tenerife Las Palmas, which is big for them, and Athletic Club Bilbao Eibar, yeah, which is another one that I'm going to be paying attention to. But other than that, this round doesn't have any particular big, big game.
Just as well, because we're going to be watching the Ronde 64 of the Coupe de France.
I was
I'm going to give you the fixture, Jules, because they're tattooed on my mind. that's coming up next.
We're sponsored for this episode of The Totally Football Show by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform helping you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. It's your perfect teammate, the Sutton to your Shearer, the Heskey to your Owen, the Mane and Firmino to your Salah. Whether you're selling I Belong to Jimbo t-shirts or Max and Barry half and half scars, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, which is up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And what's more, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 support is there to help your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Now, because you listen to The Totally Football Show, you can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/totally, all in lowercase. So go to shopify.com/totally to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/totally.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is the Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
All right, Liga not back for a bit, but that's great news because more space for one of the world's more remarkable cup competitions, I would say, the Coupe de France, as you've got sides from the other side of the Pacific.
Exactly, 8,000 teams.
It might be
teams.
The same side of the Pacific, I'm not sure, but a long way away. How many teams?
8,500 teams at the start.
8,500 teams.
Yeah. Jules has played in it.
Jules has played in it. You That's how far it? Down yeah. it goes.
So. Exactly. Including, I think, in total, almost 200 teams from all the like French islands, so Martinique, Guadeloupe, Mayotte,
Réunion. Speaking of which, so we're in the round of 64, just 64 teams left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Lille are taking on Golden Lion. Are they actually called Golden Lion, or are they called Redo? Oh,
no, Golden Lion. Golden Lion. Saint-Joseph in Martinique, yeah.
Right, in Martinique.
Yeah.
So are they going to the, what is it, the Antilles, I think, Martinique?
So the French Caribbean.
They're going out there, or are they coming over to theirs?
They're coming.
And if they get a draw, do they take them back to the Antilles?
We don't have any replays in the French replays.
Who pays for the trip, the FA?
For the trip, yeah. And then they usually stay at Clairefontaine. Well, it depends who against who they play.
Right.
But you can stay at Clairefontaine and train almost like the French national team and then travel to where you... So for them, as good as it would be to host and have Lille coming over, they also like to come to the métropole, to come to France.
Get some shopping done.
Exactly. Although the weather is obviously not the same.
Not the same.
If you think about it at all at this time of the year. But yeah, it's a great experience. And
Jules, how many rounds have they played already? Yeah. And have they? Are they just crisscrossing the ocean?
Already five rounds or four rounds.
Wow.
To get there. Wow. Obviously, depending on your league.
Yeah.
You don't obviously at the bottom, which was not my team.
No,
but start really the rubbish, really low grassroots teams, and then some others like the Ligue 1 clubs come in later.
Right,
but even if you're playing, let's say in the seventh division in France, you don't play the first two rounds; you only come in the third round.
Sure.
So yeah, it's they play gradually.
They play in the Martinique Division d'Honneur, which sounds pretty good.
Yeah, which for us would be like the seventh division, I think.
Okay, when you played, who did you draw? Were you hoping for a Caribbean side?
No, so at the beginning you play teams of your region to start with, so you don't travel too far. Mm. And after that, you start going, you can go anywhere in France. So one year, I can't remember the team, but we went to Brittany
all
the way. Mm. So when we played in the fourth division, we had big trips to do anyway. So it was not, but if you're a team from the eighth division, for example, where really this is all new to you and having a bit of travel to do, it's pretty cool. And I think I said the other day, maybe on the show, you get to keep the special shirt that you play with. And if you go to the fourth round, you get to keep the shirt, which is everybody's dream when you play in there.
Do you know who's bottom of the Division d'Honneur?
What, in La Martinique?
I don't actually.
It's a team called Good Luck.
Good Luck. Oh, God. Right.
They need it.
Yeah. They need it. Yeah. So, Revel. Just before, I think it was back in December, wasn't it? The clip went viral of them watching the draw and seeing who they got. They play down in the sixth tier. Where are they from, Revel?
They're near Castres, Toulouse, so their stadium would be in Castres, southwest.
Yeah.
And in France, which may be the same case here, but if there's two divisions apart, the lower ranked team hosts.
Oh, is that right?
So even if PSG had been drawn first,
right? So they get PSG and amid scenes when the news came through, they were so happy.
They knew would be at home,
right? Yeah.
So special. The Revel Stadium is too small and not, can't have television and things like that.
Mm.
So instead of playing in Toulouse, they're going to play in Castres, the rugby stadium, which is 13,000 seater. But it was going to be an amazing party and it's a very, very good occasion. Sure. Because they're on television, which those players, I think they know they're not going to beat PSG, but they will be on primetime television.
They're
going to
revel in it, aren't they?
Imagine if they revel.
Yeah. Jules,
there will be some revelations.
Just going through some of the teams here. Jules, like, who is Union Sportive Thionville Lusitanos?
Oh, I can tell you exactly who that is.
Okay.
Thionville. Fifth tier Thionville Lusitanos, which kind of basically means the Portuguese of Tuisville.
Exactly. Yeah.
But weirdly... They used to be called Fußball Club Deidenhofen.
Hey, really? guess what? Yeah, because in 1943, Fritz Walter, who went on to win the World Cup in 1954 with West Germany, he played for them.
Right.
Are they from Alsace?
So Thionville used to be in Germany until the French grabbed it.
Of course.
After the First World War. And then they got renamed from Fußball Club Deidenhofen. What does that mean? Something trousers?
No.
Okay.
The Rosenes.
Deidenhofen. And then they became the Thionville Portuguese, which is a bit of a switch, isn't it?
From a German outfit. I think they were Thionville first.
Okay.
Often Lusitanos were their own clubs.
Oh, and there's a strong community.
Then they merged. Yeah. So, for example, Créteil Lusitanos or Saint-Maur Lusitanos in Paris merged as well with Créteil Lusitanos.
Speaking of Crétin, Marseille are going to be visiting them for that game. Holders to lose.
Yeah.
They're away at another fifth tier side, Chambéry. Gateway to the Alps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you go skiing, for example,
you might have gone through Chambéry.
Exactly.
Also traveling to another country are Monaco, who will be visiting Lens.
Yeah, that's yeah. the big one.
That's really. The big one. Seventh against third.
Brest, your favorite French club, against Clermont, maybe, I think, as
Is
well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Pontarlier. Pontarlier?
Pontarlier, near Sochaux, so in the east. Lovely, lovely cheese
okay.
over there.
You know who they're playing?
Oh, yeah. What kind of cheese?
Comté, especially.
Comté. my favorite, man.
Comté is from Pontarlier. Oh, from, I like yeah, the Comté. Yeah.
Amazing cheese.
What's your favorite cheese, Comté. Is it? Yeah, is yeah. it your favorite cheese?
Yeah, although not I can't eat it. I can't. Well, raclette is good, but I'm dairy intolerant, so I should not eat it, but I eat it still right. because I can't compromise on the
Comté. But Comté, isn't that dairy as well?
Yeah, that's why I compromise.
But he compromises.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I say, like, there's a rule for all the other cheese but Comté. Comté is special. Rafa doesn't believe in food intolerance, you know. So.
No, I'm also slightly
really?
Dust intolerant. Yeah, I can't eat it either.
Right. But anyway, Pontarlier, home of the cheese. They
home of Comté, especially. They've got other cheese, yeah. but Comté is the main one.
Antonio Comté.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
N'Golo.
Comté. So they're going to be playing Lyon.
Yeah.
Who. Finished off the year 2023 as it was by winning their third straight game.
Yeah, yeah. Stonewise,
Peter Stone.
Yeah, Pierre Sage. So yeah. Stonewise, doing really, really well. He hasn't got the job just yet for the rest of the season, but we hope we are expecting him to be announced very soon now. And they even are trying. Because who would want to go to this mess? But still trying to recruit new players like Saïd Benrahma, for example, for Lyon. They've been in contact with him, hopefully making that deal happen. John Textor says he's got a bit of money to spend.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see.
Brilliant. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. And obviously on Wednesday night, a few hours after we record the show, there's the French Super Cup, the Trophée des Champions, which couldn't be played in August in Thailand because the Thailand government just bailed on it.
Oh.
So instead, we had the Parc des Princes between PSG.
Was Saudi Arabia not available?
No, they tried.
It's really hard to get a Super Cup played at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's like Turkey, a Turkish one, yeah. So PSG Toulouse at the Parc des Princes, but there's no PSG, are not the home team.
Right.
And the fans are not happy, so there will be no PSG Ultra, no Toulouse Ultra.
But they're not happy because Raf gave them a load of restaurant recommendations for Thailand, and now they can't.
Maybe, but also because they're not happy that it's at the Parc des Princes, and really it should not be at the Parc des Princes. They can't go to the Stade de France because of the Olympics.
Right.
Stade de France isn't really in Paris either.
Yeah.
It's just outside. It's very, very right to point this out.
But why are they not happy about having the Super Cup in their own home stadium?
Well, no, I think though, so the Toulouse fans were not happy and first boycotted the game. And then in solidarity, the PSG Ultra said, yeah, they're right. It should not be at the Parc des Princes, so we're not going to go either.
Right.
So
if you're in Paris, get along. Sounds like the ticket's available.
I mean, play at the Bernabeu, man. The Libertadores was played there instead of Argentina. I'm sure that they will be happy to take a final.
Yeah, well, yeah. But no, so it's tonight there.
The Turkish Super Cup is an extraordinary story. Do you want to just finish off by explaining it, James?
Well, I was indulging over Christmas, so I wasn't watching and following a lot of football. But from my understanding, did they not pull out because it was supposed to be happening on like Ataturk Day?
Yeah, and they were going to wear branded Ataturk sporting gear.
The 100th anniversary of...
And the Saudis said, no, you can't do that.
You can't do politics.
Yeah. Okay.
Which from Saudi is a bit... You know,
yeah. And so they
Say, well, if we can't have the t-shirt, we're not going to play.
Right, which I think they should be applauded for.
Very much so. It was 4 days after Fenerbahce and Galatasaray played in the league, which was a very boring nil-nil draw. And
Black eye.
Yeah, the black eye. That was the only spectacular thing. They both joined top of the league, by the way, by far.
Right.
So everybody was looking forward to the kind of replay.
Yeah.
In a way, in the Super Cup, but
well, Icardi posted this photo on Instagram of him with a black eye. Or Wanda posted it. Wanda, who won Dancing with the Stars, Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
Incredible comeback story, given her illness as well, which she'd been recovering from. But I don't think there was an explanation for the black eye. It was just like, this is, you know, the intercontinental derby between Galatasaray and Fenerbahce. And everyone's favorite transfer insider, Fabrizio Romano, basically tweeted Icardi's sort of statement or that sort of thing. And Edin Dzeko replied to him and basically said, come on, you're better than that, Fabrizio. Icardi ran into a post. Or something like that, yeah.
But then Wanda was putting makeup on the black eye.
Okay.
Which
What does it all mean?
You can't believe anything anymore, can you? Mm. You know? So,
Not even for
by the way, to start the year, guess who has just followed me on Instagram? Will Steele.
Will Still.
So Will Still is our new, obviously my new best friend. Here we go.
Okay.
I still know Jean-Michel Aulas, who somehow followed Horney for many, many years.
Is he really? Jean-Michel Aulas follows
you. Big fan
you.
Of mine.
Yeah, massive
fan. Who's the most surprising person who finishes you, Alvaro?
M.A.
Cannot tell you now.
No?
Florentino. Surely Florentino.
Florentino. Probably, yeah. Surely. Everyone follows Rafa, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's great news. Well, hello to you, Will Still, if you hello, are Will. Also following Jules' many media outlets.
Yeah.
Lovely to have you on board. And that's it for today's show. What a great note to finish on, Jules. Yeah, thank you for that.
Don't forget to watch Netflix as well, Captains of the World, of
Captains
course.
Captains of the World.
Review
why was
of the
that?
2022 World Cup, because it's an amazing review a year on of the right. 2022 World Cup. And also,
what it meant to Julien Laurent.
Yeah, are especially in the final.
The deleted scene alternative ending where France win.
Well, there's a scene in the final that, you know, you will recognize the tempo there.
Oh.
Germany don't feature.
Yeah. Okay.
No, actually, that's very true. Yeah,
nor do Italy.
Nor do Italy, no.
Yeah. All right.
There is a cliffhanger in there that I left before, my moment of the weekend.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Did we not do your moment of the weekend?
No, because you told me this is for later.
We have.
Yes.
The Mason Greenwood thing.
What was it?
Let me explain to you what happened there.
Yeah,
And this is when, in post-production, they will probably beep what I'm going to say.
Okay.
But Mason Greenwood was sent off for allegedly telling the referee.
Really?
But Mason Greenwood argues that he said, f*** sake. So this could be a case for a lip reader.
That's a James cleverly
Spanish.
Move,
yeah?
Isn't it? Really?
No, in English.
In English, yeah.
So the referee spoke English.
Well, I mean, I think everyone gets off. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry,
no?
I've done it.
No worries. The post-production does marvels to the source. But this could be a case for a lip reader because Getafe wants to challenge this.
Yes.
So let's see what happens there.
Are we going down that route?
Yeah. So from
I did not tell you well. To f*** off.
From Rubiales to Labiales.
Nice. Nice. Which means lip reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Spanish. That's
nice.
Spanish. Good. All right, then. That's more than enough. Totally Football Show for today. There's another one along on Thursday talking about the Premier League. Talking about the FA Cup third round. Woof. For now, many thanks to James, Alvaro, Rafa and Jules. And you, listener, we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to The Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Discover bonus video content by searching for The Totally Football Show on YouTube and see the very latest subscription offers at theathletic.com/totally. The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.